I haven't done one of these in a while, but I figured this week was a good time to start, given all the events that are happening this week. Apple today, Google tomorrow, Samsung on Wednesday, and obviously just the general tech news. There's just plenty of going on. I did want to mention something unrelated to Apple that I thought was worth noting today. I don't know if anyone else saw the Amazon news. Really, really briefly. There was an interesting filing from Amazon today, or pertaining to Amazon, which I think will either be a huge deal or it will fizzle out. But just flagging in case people want to be aware that the U.S. House Judiciary, I think five members, accused Amazon executives, including Jeff Bezos, of misleading Congress and lying or lying about whether they are rigging their search results. Those who might remember that Bezos testified in front of Congress, I want to say earlier this year, but it might have even been last year. So, you know, we'll see how that all plays out, but definitely something to watch. I don't know if Brian, you're there if you want to comment on that. Otherwise, we can just go straight into Apple stuff. Brian muted himself because he's got a bunch of his kids are running around, I think. Anyway, the Amazon news, I think, is worth noting. So I just wanted to note that quickly, and we'll go right into Apple's event. Actually, a quick show of hands, just so I have an idea for everyone that's here. Could you guys give a wave for those that actually watched the event? Not necessarily the whole thing, but if you tuned in for, you know, a good chunk of it, give a wave emoji, if you will. Okay, we have we have a few. But I guess, yeah, oh, okay, they're coming in. So I'd say about 30% of people watched it. Okay, I guess most people, you know, read the news and saw the headlines, which is fair. Although it was a short event by Apple standards. It was definitely not the 2.5 hour event that sometimes they throw at us. But yeah, so they started off with, are you back, Brian?
I'm back for five minutes.
Okay. Well, I was going to do this chronologically, but maybe it makes sense then if we only have you for 5 minutes, why don't you give us your thoughts? We'll just go straight to the MacBook Pro stuff then.
Yeah. It was exactly what I was hoping for. The thing that I've said a million times, that everyone has said a million times, is, oh, you gave us ports back. You took away the touch bar. So you basically solved the problems that you made for us for 5 years. It's an insane thing to do. But, you know, look, some of us have been waiting for 5 years and have been some of us have created the MacBook Pros that we've been using for 5 years because we knew that it was something that would be unusable for us for that period of time. But at the same time, I'm a little worried about the jump in price. And I'd love to hear more people about that, because as much as the performance is jumping, it is so this was 2015 or 2016, when I souped up the MacBook Pro that I've been using this entire time for all of my podcasting, building my entire businesses on top of, I believe it was a $3,200 or $3,500 thing. And like I souped it up. It was the most storage you could get, the most RAM you could get, all that stuff. If I did that right now, as far as I know, that's a $5,000 machine. And 13 inch, and then if you go to 16 inch, it's like a $6,000 machine. So great, they gave us what we wanted. And also, inflation is a real thing or something.
Yeah, I mean, they can get away with it because of the chips, right? Like that's what people, well, the chips and the, I mean, they, you know, I think you put it right. They gave you, or, and I say you because I don't purchase MacBooks. they gave you everything you wanted, and there's only really one trade-off, and that's the notch, I guess. And yeah, the price, but I think people are going to shell out for these. I don't see why they wouldn't, unless they're, you know, really hate the notch, but otherwise it's an upgrade in every department, it seems.
I mean, agreed. Look, this is the device that I have been begging them for. Now, the question is, did they do the thing that Apple does, which is they do a sort of like a step change in terms of, so it used to be that you could get a MacBook Pro at like $1,200, $1,500. And then if you wanted to max it out, it was like $3,500. And now we're talking about $6,000. That's kind of what I feel like people are talking about, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think you did it on your podcast. Everyone, by the way, should listen to Brian's Tech Me Ride Home podcast. The 16-inch tops out at just over 6,000, and the 14-inch tops out at just under 6,000.
Can I say that I've never paid, even for a desktop iMac, I've never paid in my life more than $4,000 for a machine. So I need to think about this a little bit. I need to like sleep on it, but like the machine that I would want, the machine that I've been dreaming of, is essentially a $5,000 machine. So all of these the chips sound amazing. The storage sounds amazing. Everything is amazing, but it's in a realm of a machine that, I don't know, maybe I would not pay for.
Well, wouldn't you just not top it out and pay for, you know?
Well, but I spent all afternoon repricing things. Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a good problem for Apple to have, right? I think if this is the MacBook Pro that people have been wanting for years, for 5 years, I mean, some people are looking at this and saying this is a 2015 MacBook Pro that is essentially souped up, right? It has all the ports and all the, it's the functional MacBook Pro from 2015 with Apple Silicon, essentially. So I think given that, and I think also given that a lot of people get their MacBook Pros from work, right? They're not getting their MacBook Pros from, like, and sure, many people are buying them it themselves, but many people are also just getting them from work. So I think that's okay, right? I mean, yeah, I don't know if I should say this, but I feel like you're going to buy it anyway. You just might not get the $6,000 version.
I mean, I don't know. What I'm thinking about is, to the degree that I've been sitting on a computer for 5 years, that is still the computer that I sort of future-proofed it for, because I knew they were fucking things up and doing the keyboard stuff. And then I am still doing, you know, this is, you know, specific to me. I'm doing my show at home, so I'm still dealing with an iMac. So literally for me, the thing is, I don't think that this works for me, because I'd rather have them launch an iMac, but then that would be, I don't know, $12,000 or something. But I don't know.
Well, they refreshed the iMacs, but they haven't yet refreshed the Mac Pros, right?
Oh, no, no. I'm saying the iMac Pros, right? So remember, the iMacs are, right, you're not in this ecosystem. You know what, I need to bow out of this, because, so the iMacs are these cute little things with colors on them, and they're so tiny. Yeah. They're fantastic, and I want them because they look great, but that's not what I need for. I need M1Xs and M1X Pros and all that stuff for my iMac. And so I'm almost thinking that, like, I'm going to say this, and then I got to bow out because my kids are killing themselves in there. I don't know that. No, I didn't pull the trigger today. Like, I thought I was going to. Like, I said on the show that this is something that I've waited 5 years for. And they gave me everything they wanted, or I wanted. And yet, I did not buy yet today. Because I'm just going to wait. Because, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Well, did the notch impact that at all? Or was that not a factor?
Oh, no. No, but by the way, all of you Apple haters, which I'm not an Apple fanboy or an Apple hater, but I get it. But by the way, a notch on a fucking computer is, I can handle that way more than I can handle it on a phone.
Mm. Just because it takes up less. Yeah, just because it takes up less space. But on the play devil's advocate, it's even less necessary on a laptop because there's room for you can pull it off, right? Yeah. You have the space
I'm
for
fine
it.
With that. By the way, have you seen like the bezels that used to be on Mac Pros? Like, so if they did this and they gave us a notch, it's fine. Like, I have no problem with that. I really got to go. There are people in the room like James and Steve and Kevin. Please bring them up. Invite them. I got to go. But
yeah, awesome. Thanks for hopping on, Brian. I'll definitely invite them up. Steve is already approved. And yeah, Steve, I mean, he'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks again, Brian, for hopping on. Did you pull the trigger right away, Steve? Unlike Brian,
I should have negotiated ahead of time. I'm due for a new machine, and I was trying to figure out with my employer how to get that all set and everything. But that's not set. I just ordered it when I had ordered it anyway. So I was like, well, if it doesn't all work out, I'd have to order it 2 weeks from now instead of today or whatever. But figure. But yeah, I just got I got the 14 inch, and I'm happy at the. I think it wasn't like launch day, but maybe a few days after. But yeah, I can't wait. I think my main thing on this machine is ProMotion. I was really looking forward to that. I mean, they could have shipped the Intel chip, and I'd still be happy with it because of the ProMotion. That was the main feature I was looking for.
And that's the 120 hertz screen, right?
Yeah, correct. 120 hertz screen. And so, yeah, I'm curious. Yeah, this is the first Apple display on a Mac with 120 hertz. So what other, you know, extra options and everything else that will appear in the settings that we can mess with. And I'm curious how this will work with third-party displays. My understanding is that, 120 hertz displays have worked in the past with Macs, but I don't know if there's any more, you know, software features since they finally shipped a first-party display that will be included in these updates. So still going through all the code diffs and trying to find anything interesting. There's usually, you know, one or two new settings with new hardware like this that I might get the text on. And then we'll find out more from the reviewers when the embargo lifts.
Right. So let's go through everything that you got in the 14. So you didn't get you had to get the M1 Pro, right? You didn't have an option for the M1 Max. Did that factor in at all, or you just wanted the smaller form factor?
Yeah, I just wanted the smaller form factor. For me, I've had both, like the larger and the smaller Mac Pro before, or MacBook Pro, and I just really like that smaller size. It's better, I guess, like flappability. And so it's just, you know, even with today, and I'm not really going to the office at all, it's just, the lappability is nice, and I'm not doing anything that's really super intense, like video editing, 3D editing, et cetera. You know, most of mine is just compiling, et cetera. So that's what I went with. So I don't know. It might change up because I don't really know what my budget is, say, from my employer. But right. my first thing I've splurged for was the 32 gigabytes of RAM. So
yeah.
Makes sense. That's where I spent all of my.
Are you excited to get MagSafe?
Yeah, MagSafe is interesting. I think it's awesome that it's back. I think in actual use, though, it'll probably be just the cable that sits my laptop bag, because I really like the whole one cable use of one Thunderbolt cable to power the display and power the computer and drive like any extra accessories, etc. So I think I'll still do that since it's just nice to plug in one thing at my desk at home. There's no risk of, you know, tripping over the wire and sending the laptop across the room, unlike, you know, when I might go to the cafe or go into the office every now and then. So yeah, I think I'm glad it's there. I guess there's the cost of that versus the HDMI port and the MagSafe port, so we lost one. But I think that's a win overall for most people. And yeah, I think the HDMI port, personally I don't use it, but I'm glad it's there because if you need it, you need it. and messing with adapters all day at work is annoying.
Yeah, so you get an HDMI port and SD card slot. That's probably just a win. Why not, right?
Right, exactly.
Are you happy to lose the touch bar? Did you deal with a touch bar on your current Macs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've had it. And yeah, it's annoying. To me, it's mostly annoying for like buying a personal machine and knowing that if I want a higher-end laptop, basically, $200 was built into the price of the machine to accommodate the touch bar that I didn't want and rather not have. So I'm glad it's not there just from a pricing perspective, mainly. I mean, I guess they could, I wouldn't see them offering it as an optional piece. So I'm glad it's not there. I think, most people, they've had strong feelings they didn't like it. So I'm glad it's gone. It didn't really click with me. So
yeah,
it's really weird, really weird. It was just really weird because it's probably the weirdest, hardware thing that Apple's done in recent history.
Oh, I don't know. The keyboard, the shitty keyboards and their insistence that they're not shitty was, I would say, is a little bit higher up.
I guess there's the good, bad, and the ugly, right? So
Yeah. I think that one, I mean, you just need a functional keyboard on a laptop. Like that's, whereas the touch bar, at least you could ignore.
Right, exactly. You could, mostly ignore it. I guess you'd like go on, full on disable it. I guess the most annoying thing to me besides the accidental touches is the occasional times when it freezes up or machine was getting slow or something and I couldn't change my brightness or like mute my speaker. Just like, I want a hardware button to mute. That's like, I need a hardware mute button and having that soft button on the touch bar just didn't do it for me. But I am really glad we're getting the inverted T arrow layout now instead of the full size left and right arrow keys. So that was another little detail that this whole machine feels like, we're just going back to like the greatness that was the 2012 Retina MacBook Pro. So I think this machine will have a lot of value for a while. And we're like past that Johnny Ive era of, strip everything down to its bare essence and hide everything.
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
I think these are going to last like, unless there's some crazy defect with them, which I can't imagine being the case. Again, I don't think there can be anything worse than a faulty keyboard. I think these are going to be like the de facto laptops that you see everywhere, frankly. If you see a MacBook Pro, like this is going to be it. I think people who are going to, Brian did just say that he's holding on to his, but I think these are going to be quite popular.
I think it's like there's like big theme with the ports and everything else, right? Is like this is back to the type of port configuration setup that people want. They don't care if it's a little bit thicker, if they get better battery life and better keyboard travel. So I think that's a big theme. Another theme is just all about Apple Silicon and just the performance per watt and how amazing that is. And then the last one is just around Intel, Windows era of Intel pushing the marketing and having different chips for different size machines and different thermal budgets. And Apple's like, nope, pick the size you want. And with these, you can pick your chip. The consumer one, you basically get the same chip everywhere. That's how it's going to be. You pick the form factor as the main piece and don't worry about the rest.
Yeah, although it did throw me that they announced two chips today. We saw the rumors and it wasn't a complete shock, but let's say before the weekend I wasn't expecting two separate chips for the MacBook Pros.
Yeah, it was interesting. It's like as far as the branding goes, because I think there were rumors about like different number of core configurations, but yeah, before this weekend there wasn't any talk of those being branded differently. So yeah, it was interesting that they went with that distinction, which I think is good because there was other, let's say minor differences between them that are important for consumers of, say, somebody, just needs as many displays as they can connected to this machine, then yes, go for the M1 Max. Otherwise, you can get the Pro instead of saying, well, you need the 10-core, 8-core, yada, yada, to get all the displays kind of thing. It just makes it simpler.
Yeah, so can you explain actually? Because I've seen the headlines. I think your colleague You're still at 9 to 5, right? Oh no, you're not. Never mind. Sorry about that. Okay, anyway, whatever.
No,
that,
no worries.
There was did you follow the displays? Like the MacBook Pros can support 2 external 6K displays, but the M1 Max can support up to 3. I guess it's just comes down to the chip.
I think it depends too, like if you throw the HDMI in there or not, because I think that's been a thing with the Mac Mini in the past, is if in order to get all of the Max displays out, one of them had to be the HDMI or something like that. But yeah, it sounds like, you know, there was a specific display controller that's larger or something like that on the Max that allows it to drive more displays.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I just shared the tweet so people can dive into the details.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, I think most people will not be juggling this many displays, but if you are, you know, something to be aware of that you probably want to, I guess this means if you want a ton of displays, you need to get the 16-inch because you need the M1 Max, and it's the chip that is supporting up to 3 displays. And then I guess you can plug in a 4th through HDMI. But don't quote me on that. Double check that and look into it.
Yeah, it all gets really complicated based on, you know, what, you know, not only the size of the displays you're connecting, but the refresh rate, because it just all plays into the total bandwidth calculation of how much bandwidth the chips can drive to the displays. But I'm curious what you thought of the event. What was your overall impressions?
I mean, I like that it wasn't drawn out. I feel like, I mean, they did the Apple thing where they overhyped certain aspects, like, you know, that the HomePod Mini is getting 3 new colors, and we must know about this, and this deserves stage time. Sure. they obviously talked up the chips, but that's fair game, I think. I don't really understand this $5 a month voice plan that they announced for Siri. I don't know if you grasped who that is for or why someone might want that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you want it, and you can explain. But that was odd, at least at first glance.
Yeah, the odd thing to me about that is, like, I guess they either, you know, based on the pricing, like, do they assume people are going to stream less if it's only through Siri, or is it they worked out some licensing deal with the music companies around?
Yeah.
Voice interaction with music. So I'm curious there, you know, which one that comes down to, and we'll probably never know. But I'm bored with that. I think it makes sense. I think Amazon in the past had some deal where you could do a one Echo device music streaming plan for a discounted rate. I don't know if they offered it anymore. But I think it makes sense if, you know, you mainly listen in on that one device, let's say, or something like that, and that's the only place. I guess more options are better, except if they lead to confusion. So I don't know.
Yeah. So I mean, I think you're right. If there is a licensing deal here, then that makes sense. I mean, Apple could also just be eating the cost, but why would they do that unless they just see this as a way to get people using Siri more, because Siri still sucks? I don't. But it's not. You're not really using Siri that much, right? You're just kind of initially starting it, and then it's really just an Apple Music. I do share your, I mean, like, I think it's a good point that it could cause confusion, which is not what Apple wants. Apple just wants everyone using Apple Music, but it might get people in the door, and then, yeah, I mean, at $5, maybe it's a no-brainer. And then people, you know, will decide that they want to use Apple Music elsewhere and then go up the subscription chain. I guess that's a possibility.
But I think another difference was that you couldn't get, like, the Dolby Atmos high fidelity lossless stuff with this plan. So that makes sense to me, where, you know, they're saving a little bit there. But yeah, like, I guess the type of person that wants this isn't really probably interested in that sort of thing.
Yeah, if you're trying to save $5 a month, because that's what this ultimately does, right? Then you don't really care about high fidelity, presumably, yeah. Right?
It seems very odd from Apple. Like, it makes sense from another brand that's pushing more low cost stuff, but from Apple as, like, a low cost option, it seemed very odd. Especially with, like, this might make more sense to me if they announced this alongside of, like, big Siri improvements, and someone's like, "Oh, okay, well, you know, I had a HomePod in the past, and I know the experience of Siri and music and all that stuff, and it just didn't meet the bar for me, but I'm going to try this out, and I'm just going to dip my toes in it with this cheap plan or something, and go from there. But I think, you know, another part of this is the carrier story, because like a lot of carriers offer free streaming music plans. So I'm curious if this might be a play in there of like, I don't know, like T-Mobile or somebody be like, hey, we'll give you the voice only plan for Apple Music or something to just bundle into their packages. And, you know, maybe it's a checklist feature that doesn't, you know, a lot of people won't use, but it's, you know, helps them make their decision to go with that plan or unlimited plan or something like that.
Yeah, it's almost as if they had more here and then they had to cut it, right? Like something more about the HomePod. And maybe that's because of chip shortages and they couldn't, you know, maybe there's a HomePod refresh coming and they, or HomePod Mini, because they killed the HomePod, I believe, right? So maybe there was something there and then this was kind of what was left over and they didn't want to make the event just about the MacBook Pro because they wanted to build up a little bit of hype at the beginning like they always do. They leave the best for last or the most exciting thing for last. You know, it wasn't like a three-hour event that they had to cut things from. It was a relatively short event for Apple. But yeah, I mean, to be fair though, the other link that we haven't talked to, the thing that ties this voice plan with I guess HomePod kind of are the AirPods. Of course, that was the other, you know, bigger headline aside from the MacBooks. Of course, I don't really know why they didn't call them AirPods 3, but that's what I think everyone is going to call them. I think they're going to sell like crazy.
Yeah, no, I think they'll definitely sell really well. I'm curious how they fit, and I wonder if like a good like you know, way to try them without trying them on sort of thing is like if you take the nubs out of the existing AirPods Pro, you know, somebody close to you that's willing to let you borrow those if you have those already, and if that like emulates the fake. So I'm just really curious because I'm somebody myself where I think the AirPods Pro definitely sound better if I'm on an airplane. I definitely want those, but day to day, I just like the regular AirPods. Just,
oh, really?
Because I don't like the little nubs in my ears. It's just uncomfortable wearing it for any length of time. So I'm actually really interested in these, and I'm curious. And I was kind of worried at first that this would be like, you know, need a nub by default to use these. So I'm glad that they don't have any nubs. But I'm curious about the new shape, and they have the new like stem control design. So definitely going towards the AirPods Pro there more.
You could probably walk into an Apple store and try them, right?
Yeah, you could probably do that. Yeah, but you know, for people that don't want to do that or anything else, or just want to order them early, that's something I'm curious if a reviewer could bring up. Like, hey, if you take the nubs out of an existing AirPods Pro and you want to try that out, just order as soon as possible. If that makes a difference to you, this is a good way to kind of do a test fit at home. Yeah, one weird thing with the new AirPods 3 is that they don't support all the same devices as the AirPods 2. There's some older devices that these new ones don't support. So I don't know if that's some old, you know, Bluetooth profile that aren't supported on the new ones or what the reason is for that. But that was kind of a curious little difference.
Yeah, that is odd. I think your Bluetooth suspicion could be right. I can't imagine. I guess Apple could just be doing it because they want to. But there must be a technical decision they made. I don't see why they would, given that these are, you know, their cheapest AirPods, and this is meant to be like kind of a for everyone purchase. I can't imagine that they would just cut support for the sake of cutting support. You know, it would be way too confusing to try to explain to someone that like, no, your AirPods 2 will work with your whatever device, but your AirPods 3 won't. I can't imagine Apple doing that. It makes more sense for higher end devices where they're, you know, trying to push some sort of standard or something. But this, I guess, yeah, I think some Bluetooth spec or some, I mean, what Apple does tend to do is like, for some reason, let's say spatial audio and Apple Music wouldn't work on some of these unsupported devices, and they want that feature to be part of this. So therefore, that's what they had to cut, right? Because that's the highlight here, I guess. I mean, sure, it's MagSafe. The case is MagSafe enabled, and the sound quality is improved, and there's an updated design. But I think the spatial audio in Apple Music is probably the thing they might be tied to some sort of technical capability, which, you know, could be a Bluetooth thing, like you said.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Or it makes me suspect that there's some future software feature that's only going to be available on these new ones, and it's not going to be compatible with those devices as well. Perhaps, I'm not sure.
Yeah. What was your biggest, like, what were you most excited? I mean, I guess this is an obvious question, but and maybe not. What stood out to you from the event the most?
I like, just the speeds and feeds aspect of it, because a lot of Apple events are, you know, here's our products and beautiful people using them and everything. But just getting down to, here's the graphs, and even just labeling the graphs of, you know, here's the exact machines that we tested against kind of thing, was really interesting. And I just love the comparison of, we're almost there on the top end, you know, quote unquote mobile laptop, because I'm not sure like the laptop they're comparing against, like, you know, it's probably twice as thick or whatever it is. It's got to be thicker, heavier or something than the MacBook Pro. But it's like, but, you know, if we take it down and if we're actually comparing, you know, machines, you know, battery versus battery, you know, we blow the other guys out of the water. And even when they're plugged in, it's like 100-watt difference in the amount of power it's using. So that's what it's all about. And it just seems like kind of, I don't know, just a big step change in CPU architecture, chip technology, that Apple's able to get that big of gap on the competition.
Yeah, no, it is definitely impressive. And I think it'll take a while before, Qualcomm and so on and Intel catch up, because this is clearly a pipeline thing, right? So they've got, you know, the M2s and the M3s probably already spec'd out, and they're just working on them. And, you know, it'll just be an annual thing, right? We'll get the M2s next year, and the M2 Pro and M2 Max, and then the M3, unless there's like this supply stuff really screws things up. The chip shortage really throws things off. I assume this is going to be an annual thing. They're going to blow the competition out of the water. For most people, it won't really matter. I feel like most people have their, especially nowadays, they're plugged in with their laptop in it. It doesn't make a huge difference. But for pros, yeah, that's definitely something to factor in. And it's an easy upgrade, right? If you have a MacBook Pro, that is, a couple of years old, even, it makes sense. But if you've been holding out because of the shitty keyboards, then this is like a jump, which is, I think, again, why why they can be spec'd up and go up to $6,000, right? Like Brian was pointing out, I think, because Apple knows people are going to pull the trigger, and they're going to look and keep specking up and being like, ah, screw it. I deserve a MacBook Pro that isn't causing me all sorts of issues. And again, I think the only trade-off there is the notch, right? Like that's literally the only thing that people will have qualms on, is and some people will just say, hey, I got used to it on my iPhone. Not a big deal.
The notch is interesting. Like, I think I heard you guys talking. It's like, yeah, probably not a big deal. And I agree. It would have been nice if we got something extra. Like, I guess we did get extra in that we got a 1080p FaceTime camera, webcam. But it would have been nice if it was like, okay, center stage now is also coming to the Mac, and this is the first Mac device with center stage, or like it does Face ID or something. Although,
yeah, it does. It doesn't have Face ID, right?
Yeah, no Face ID.
Like, because that would be, not really an excuse, but you could at least somewhat justify it and be like, oh, that's why there's a notch. But otherwise, there's no real justification other than they didn't want to do it, right? Because you can look at, there's plenty of Windows laptops with just as thin, if not thinner, bezels, and they managed to pull it off just fine. Like, I mean, I think someone was talking about how beautiful the Dell laptop screens are. And yeah, there's no notch and it's fine. So I'm not really sure why they did it, other than, so that in 5 years they can remove the notch.
I mean, at this point, it almost seems like a branding thing of, soft corner notch is something that, makes it look Apple-y or something. I don't know. But yeah, it just seems like a big headache, software wise and everything else. Like going through the code, it looks like there's some option that you can tick when you, right click, get info on an application, and say like, do I want this to force it to run at the full screen and, forget about any content behind the notch, or do you want to scale it down so you're not using the full res, but you're not worried about stuff hiding behind the notch until the software is updated to be compatible to avoid the notch.
Yeah, because the weird thing is, like MacBook Pros, there's just so much more room to work with, right? You could make the case that, oh, we can't, you know, fit a camera underneath the screen is not easy to do on a phone and it takes a while and we're going to wait until basically Android phones figure it out and then we're going to release one that works well. But on a laptop, you have plenty of room to figure out how to do that, right? And since they're not even giving you a really good front-facing camera, like they could have, you know, if they added a 4K front-facing camera, then you could say, oh, they couldn't get that to work under the screen. But I don't really know what the excuse is.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the one's checkbox that says all-screen design. I don't know. Yeah, it does seem really weird to me. I mean, at least it's better than some alternatives out there, like the nose cams, where it's like, you know, the camera is at the bottom or pops out of the keyboard or something crazy like that. Like,
I think
that would be worse.
That would be very un-Apple.
Yes.
No, they definitely don't want to add moving parts.
Yeah, I'm happy with the display just because, once again, getting ProMotion and the mini LED thing should at least hopefully, you know, make it so that if you're watching like some video or something, you're just not noticing it at all just because it has that awesome contrast. Because that's the other area, is just like, if it just gets annoying when you're watching video, et cetera, which I'm kind of curious about that with, you know, this machine being targeted towards pros and pro video editors. You know, is this something that they, you know, I'm curious. I want to hear from a pro video editor what they think about the whole notch and if they think that's going to like mess with their flow or anything else. I suspect it's not, you know, a big deal or anything else, but still it's just really, really weird. But yeah, the notch made a lot of sense to me when turns out you have the whole, you know, I found in the code, the resolutions, and you subtract the 74 inches pixels for the notch. And it's like, okay, then you get to a 16:9 display. So that makes sense.
Hmm. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. That's a good point.
But I got to go here. Thanks for bringing me on. But
Steve. Awesome. Thanks for jumping on. I'm probably going to close it out here unless anyone wants to request or has any questions. And we'll do this again tomorrow for the Pixel stuff. But yeah, I'll wait for another minute or two to see if anyone wants to ask a question or has comments about what went on today.
But otherwise, I'm not getting any requests, but Twitter Spaces does seem to lag. So it seems like that's about it, folks. Thanks for coming. Thanks for joining. I see Taylor's on. Hey, Taylor. So yeah, we recap the Apple event here, and there will be many recaps going forward. I will see you all tomorrow around the same time to talk Pixel and Google's event. Thanks, everyone. Have a good one.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.